Well, hello and welcome. It is so good to be with you as we come together and meet with our Lord. I hope that you're having a great day, both in terms of your circumstances, but also your relationship with the Lord. It's a beautiful day here. We had thunderstorms earlier this morning and got some much needed rain. The forecast is for more rain through today and through this week. And again, we're very thankful for that because we need the rain. But I decided to film inside today, partially because of the weather, but also because I still have birds nesting on the back porch and don't want to disturb them. But it is a joy to be here with you and a joy to be with our Lord. I want to thank Jonathan and Nikki for all that they do to make these times possible. But more than anyone, I want to thank our Lord. He loves us. He brings us to himself through salvation. He wants us to know him. He's given us this time, and he desires to speak to us through his word. And so as we open his word this morning or afternoon, depending on whenever it is that you're listening to this, let's go to him in prayer so that we can have his mind and we can have his heart. Father, thank you for the day that you've given to us. Father, thank you for the rain that you have sent to us. Thank you for sparing us from any severe weather. But Father, thank you most of all for your eternal love for us. And Father, an eternal love that motivated your grace, O God, to send your Son to die upon the cross, to save us from the consequences of our sins. Father, to save us from the power of sin, to reconcile us unto you, to justify us before you, to adopt us as your children, to bring us into an eternal loving relationship with you. Father, we thank you. Thank you for this time that you've given to us to come before you, Lord, to hear from you in your word. Thank you for your word that you have inspired and preserved, and for your spirit that teaches and speaks to us through your word. Fathers, we're here before you. We simply want to know you. We want to hear from you. Father, we need you to show us, O God, what your word says and means. And Father, we need you to open our ears, O God, to clearly hear what you're telling us through that. Father, speak to us, we pray, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, we think about serving the Lord in whatever capacity he has called us to serve him in. We usually think, you know, that this is going to be fun, this is going to be wonderful, it's going to be thrilling, it's going to be exciting. We often think it's going to be smooth sailing. And yet that is clearly wrong. You probably have experienced that firsthand, and it's in fact wrong biblically. Our Lord makes it very clear. He has a very real enemy. That is, of course, Satan. And as we look at God's word, we see that Satan has servants. That is, he has spiritual servants. That is, the demons. He also has human servants, those who belong to him, who serve him. And through them, he desires to resist our Lord, to fight against him. And hence, because we're seeking to serve our Lord, a lot of his efforts many times come against us. As we see in Ephesians chapter 6, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against those spiritual forces. And so Satan and his servants will attempt to thwart us from being able to effectively serve the Lord. I remember several years ago reading a commentary by John MacArthur, and he made the observation. He said, you know, it's always amazed him when he began some new chapter in his life, some new ministry. He said it always goes through three stages. The first stage is the fact that this is wonderful. You know, this is just absolutely marvelous. Wanted this to happen. It's a great opportunity. It is wonderful. And then, you know, after a while, it becomes very clear, no, that this is work. It requires effort to make it happen, to make it move, for it to bear fruit. This is work. But then after a while, the ultimate realization sinks in that while it is, in fact, a wonderful opportunity to serve the Lord, and it certainly is work, it's, in fact, warfare because of this very issue that we are, in fact, talking about, the fact that Satan, through his servants, both spiritual and human, and many times battle against us when all we're trying to do is simply serve the Lord and follow him. Now, David, who wrote this 140th Psalm that we're going to look at, Psalm 140, certainly knew this. The anointed king of Israel, the man chosen by God to lead Israel, a man after God's own heart, and yet he faced many enemies. And as we look at this psalm, we can break it in a couple of major points. if you will. There's the problem, so we clearly get an idea of what we're talking about. And then there's the response that we need as we address that problem. But as we look at this passage, look with me as we begin looking at the problem. And obviously, in this context, it's evil men. They seek to stop God's servants, that being David, from serving the Lord. But how do they go about doing this? And David then lists out some ways. The problem of evil men, many times it's through A, evil stirrings. Think about what we read in verses 1 through 2. Rescue me, O Lord, from evil men. Preserve me from violent men who devise evil things in their hearts. They continually stir up wars. That is, that they're constantly seeking to cause division and dissension and confusion. Many and most of the time, they're doing it behind the scenes, but they're always there trying to stir up something. Now, yeah, many times, quite frankly, it's not from an enemy from without. You'll see these individuals many times within a church or a ministry or an organization. And please understand, if there is a genuine, sincere heart burdened by an issue, it needs to be addressed. But we're talking about those individuals that it is their constant desire to try to thwart God's word by evil stirrings. And Satan does have those. And again, sometimes, certainly from without, and you can look at any news site, news media site, entertainment, you certainly see in those in the political realm, the academic realm, the corporate realm, we certainly see those, but many times they're also from within. And Satan uses these people, in fact, a cause to stir up things, evil stirrings, and again, by all means, if there's a legitimate biblical heart issue of conviction, it needs to be dealt with in a biblical manner, in a Christ-like manner. But we're talking about just stirring, just to stir, for the sole purpose of stopping God's work. Look at the second way that these people work. There's the poisonous tongues. Look at verse 3. They sharpen their tongues as a serpent. Poison of a viper is under their lips. I mean, the word picture there is amazing. They sharpen their tongues. They hone it to a razor's edge. I remember when I was a boy, it was, you know, I always wanted to keep my knife sharp, and I would sharpen it to, you know, and my test, I'd always, you know, rub it across my arm and see if I could shave the hair off my arm. Once I did that, the knife was sharp. But these people do this very same thing with their tongues. They're sharp. They cut. They slice for the sole purpose of trying to thwart and stop God's work. But they also, notice C, they lay hidden traps. Look at verses 4 and 5. Keep me, O Lord, from the hands of the wicked. Preserve me from violent men who have purposed to trip up my feet. The proud have hidden a trap for me in cords. They've spread out a net by the wayside. They have set snares for me. And again, you think about what he was saying there. They have purposed to trip me up, the latter part of verse 5, or latter part of verse 4. First part of verse 5, they have hidden a trap for me. They set a trap to trip you up. They plot, they scheme, they manipulate. They simply have these hidden traps. You know, you probably have heard the expression used of someone. You may have said it or maybe thought about it, or maybe even the Spirit witnessed to you within, you know, as you dealt with an individual. Don't trust them as far as you can throw them. That's the kind of individual that David here is talking about. And we need to understand that if we're going to serve the Lord in whatever capacity He's going to serve, that we are going to serve Him in, that we feel called by Him to do, that we will in fact have these enemies, and they will in fact use these methods. It was true for David. It'll be true for us. Well then, how do we respond? If that is in fact the reality of these enemies, if that's the problem, how do we respond? Well, David gives us three responses that we need to have. And it's not A, B, or C. It's A and B and C. A, prayer. Look at what we see in verses 6 through 11. I said to the Lord, You are my God. Give ear, O Lord, to the voice of my supplications. O God, the Lord, the strength of my salvation, You have covered my head in the day of battle. Do not grant, O Lord, the desires of the wicked. Do not promote his evil device, that they may not be exalted. Selah. As for the head of those who surround me, may the mischief of their lips cover them. May burning coals fall upon them. May they be cast into the fire, into the deep pits from which they cannot rise. May a slanderer not be established in the earth. May evil hunt the violent man speedily. Now understand, as an Old Testament believer under the law, David was in fact praying what the law indicated, that is, justice. Also remember that David was not just an individual, we've commented on this before, but David was also the king. And as king, that meant he was the ultimate law enforcement officer for the nation of Israel. So it was his job to hold these people accountable, or to bring them to justice, if you will. But not only was he the chief law enforcement officer, but also as king, he was the chief judge. So it was his job to pass judgment upon them. And again, that judgment was to be based solely upon what God's word said. And so what David is doing here, he's praying what God's word says to do with these individuals. As the law enforcement officer, he's bringing them to justice. As the ultimate judge for the nation of Israel at that point, he is in fact handing down what we today would call mandatory sentencing, if you will. This is what God said needed to be done. But what about us? Well, obviously, our Lord makes it very clear that we're to pray for our enemies. You think about what we read in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 43 through the very first part of verse 45. You've heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. We pray for them, and also we entrust them to God. That is, we allow God to deal with the situation. You think about what we read in Romans chapter 12, verses 17 through 21. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men, if possible. As far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink, for in so doing you heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. What are we told there? To leave the judgment unto God, to allow God to deal with them. So we are to pray for our enemies. We are, in fact, to entrust the whole situation over to God and to His righteousness, and allow God to do the right thing in the right way at the right time, in a way that glorifies His name. We pray for them, and we pray about them. We pray. But not only do we have prayer, but we also have promise. Notice verse 12. I know that the Lord will maintain the cause of the afflicted and justice for the poor. Again, standing on the word, David said, God, I know in your way and time you will in fact deal with this. We need to look to Christ and to His promises. David had the promises of law, but you think about the promises we have throughout God's word. You think of Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for well-being and not for calamity, that you might have a future and a hope. You think about Romans 8:28. And we know that God causes all things to work together for the good of those that love God, those called according to His purpose. You think about what we read in Philippians 4:6-7. Where it says, where it tells us, do not be worry about nothing, do not be anxious for anything, but with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. You think about the wonderful promises that we have. We need to pray, we need to stand on the promises. God's promises are almost like a lighthouse in a storm. It gives us the guidance about what to do and how to navigate through the very troubled waters. But then lastly, see, we praise. Look at verse 13. Surely the righteous will give thanks to your name. The upright will dwell in your presence. You know, one of the best ways to build faith is to praise our Lord. When we begin praising Him for who He is and what He has done, it's amazing how it calms our heart, soothes us, enables us to trust, enables us to follow Him. We need to praise. We need to pray, stand on the promises, and we need to praise. You know, there is nothing more thrilling, wonderful, than being able to serve the Lord in whatever capacity it is that He's called us to serve Him in. But we can never forget that we have a very real enemy, and that enemy has servants up under him, both spiritual and physical. But through prayer, promise, and praise, we can resist, by His strength overcome, and by His strength and grace, be used by Him to accomplish His purpose. I hope that you are serving the Lord, that you are ready to allow Him to lead you in some role of service. Don't be surprised when resistance comes, because it will. But remember to pray. Remember His promises, and remember to praise. And God will not only carry you through the opposition, but He'll use you as well. Let's go to Him in prayer. Father, we thank You for this day. And Lord, the grace that calls us to salvation, and in fact calls us, oh God, to have a life that is used by You. Lord, may we be faithful in how You have called and equipped us. And Father, when we face opposition from the enemy, and You've made it very clear we will, Father, may we pray, may we seek Your strength, oh God. Father, may we stand on Your promises. And oh God, may we praise You through it all so that Your name may be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, again, it's been good to be with you. And I do hope that you have a great rest of the day, a great day in the Lord, that you walk with Him, are used by Him, that you see Him work and move in your life.